One day after the final roster cuts were put in place by all 32 NFL teams, waiver wires are being rewarded league-wide. Which two players did the Seahawks receive on claims? Rob Rang and I are going to be breaking down those moves coming up on our Wednesday edition of Locked On Seahawks.
You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Joining me for our Wednesday episode, my co-host in crime, Rob Rang. Thanks to all the 12s out there for making Locked On Seahawks your first listen 5 days a week. We greatly appreciate it. Yesterday, the Seahawks trimmed their roster from 81 players down to 53. But as we promised, the musical chairs are not done. They're far from finished. Plenty of roster moves coming today, with teams being rewarded players off waivers. The Seahawks, of course, got involved with that. We're going to be breaking down the two waiver claims the Seahawks were rewarded, what that might mean for a few players that are currently on their roster, how they're going to make room on their roster, and, of course, plenty of practice squad discussion as the Seahawks start to add players to their 16-player squad, and some of their players they cut might land with other teams. We've got an in-depth practice squad breakdown coming your way on today's show. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. The Seahawks had their 53-man roster set yesterday, but again, as promised, that is not going to be the 53-man roster that the Seahawks go into battle against the Broncos with on Monday Night Football. Waiver claims being handed out today for players that were released around the league. And no surprise, Rob, John Schneider getting in on the act, the Seahawks being awarded two players, and I'm sure they put claims in on a few others. They were 10th on the pecking order. There were some teams in front of them that may have plucked a few players that they wanted to claim off waivers, but they were able to get Isaiah Dunn, the corner formerly of Oregon State, was with the Jets in training camp, played some games last year, and defensive end Daryl Johnson, who's played some games for the Bills and Panthers over the last three seasons.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You said like the musical chairs kind of analogy a moment ago, and I was kind of going back to my childhood there for a moment. Remember that game like Duck, Duck, Goose and all that kind of stuff? I mean, it's like, as you said, there was an Oregon State player, and then we'll talk about the former Oregon State quarterback, Sean Mannion, a little bit later in the show. It's like the Seahawks were going Duck, Duck, Goose, Goose, Beaver, Beaver, Seahawk, Seahawk. And Isaiah Dunn, one of those two Oregon State players, is a really interesting cornerback. You watch this guy on tape. He was overshadowed a little bit at Oregon State by Nashawn Wright. And, of course, the Seahawks already know Nashawn Wright. Certainly Drew Locke knows him after that third preseason game. But you look at Isaiah Dunn, and, you know, this is an incredible athlete that I think that Pete Carroll just is chomping at the bit to be able to work with athletes like this. I mean, he came in at 5'11 and a half, 189 pounds at his pro day a couple of years ago at Oregon State. He was an undrafted free agent, I should mention that, but he was an undrafted free agent that got $160,000 to sign with the New York Jets. That is the most that any cornerback has ever received as an undrafted free agent. So the New York Jets, and their head coach, Robert Saleh, were really excited about him. Of course, we've talked about before about how the Seahawks have a great deal of familiarity with Robert Saleh, former Seahawks coach here. So I think that is really intriguing. 5'11", 189 pounds, running in the 4.3s, 35 and a half inch vertical, the shuttle times, which, you know, tell your change of direction, your quickness, all those traits that are really important to cornerback, 4.14 seconds and 6.91 in the three cone and short shuttle drill. So really showing his change of direction. And this is a guy that was a former wide receiver in high school, but you don't see those ball skills. Had zero interceptions at Oregon State, zero interceptions in the New York Jets, but he certainly had a lot of career pass breakups, 20 over his college career and pro career so far. I just think this is one of those kind of things. This is what the waiver wire is all about, Corbin, is to be able to kind of roll the dice on talented players that you might be able to, just be able to get into your program and see a whole different type of player. And I think, again, when you look at Isaiah Dunn specifically, I think that this is a statement about the Seahawks and their confidence to be able to evaluate and develop cornerbacks specifically. I think the Seahawks are basically feel like they're rolling hot dice when it comes to the cornerback position. And everybody kind of, you know, had these question marks about Tariq Woolen being able to, you know, drops all the way down to the fifth round. Seattle gets him and he's looked like a superstar, you know, so far. So I think Seattle just sees a guy in Isaiah Dunn. No, cornerback is not the biggest area of concern for this club, but just like we sometimes talk in draft, draft day, best player available kind of mentality. I think Isaiah Dunn certainly matches that kind of idea. And then Daryl Johnson, the other edge rusher, I mean, you're talking about 6'6", 260 pounder who was absolutely dominant at the lower college level. I think that he's a really intriguing player as well.
Yeah, his signing was a little bit peculiar to me, but then you consider that Tyreek Smith is now out for the season. LJ Collier may be on injured reserve because he's still dealing with an elbow injury. They could certainly use another player at that position. You mentioned the size metrics that Johnson brings to the table, and he did have two sacks in two seasons with the Buffalo Bills playing as a situational pass rusher. So he did have some production as a former seventh-round pick coming out of North Carolina AT&T. A&T, I always want to say AT&T. It's not a phone company, Corbin. Anyway, had really good production for a seventh-round pick his first two seasons with the Bills, and then last year only played in three games for the Carolina Panthers, was near the bottom of their depth chart. There's a lot of talent on Carolina's front line, their edge rusher, so ended up being an odd man out, but certainly a young player that has flashed at times in his 3 years in the league and should be a good fit as a 3-4 outside linebacker. They've got some questions there with Allen Robinson dealing with a PCL sprain now as well. He might be a candidate to put on short-term injured reserve as well. So they need depth there. But to me, the Dunn acquisition is the one that's more intriguing just because you mentioned the athletic metrics this kid brings to the table. Didn't have an interception at Oregon State, but did have a bunch of pass breakups. And last year, he made the Jets roster outright coming out of training camp. They signed DJ Reed. They drafted Sauce Gardner. So he got pushed out of town because they completely revamped their cornerback group. But this is a kid that played 98 snaps all on the outside last year in the regular season for the Jets. Didn't miss any tackles, according to Pro Football Focus. 4 of 7, gave up a touchdown in coverage. 141 QB rating, but again, a very small sample size in coverage. This is a player that I believe the Seahawks actually had some interest in the pre-draft process last year. I have to go back and look at my notes, but pretty sure Isaiah Dunn was one of those players that they had in for a visit. So he is a player they've had on their radar for a while. I'm not surprised they're making this claim. And the other reason this one's really intriguing to me, not necessarily for good reasons, but Sidney Jones is still dealing with a concussion and has yet to return to practice. They've also got questions about John Reed's groin, which he re-aggravated and did not practice yesterday, even though he made the roster. So there are some issues there injury-wise to maybe be worried about. So bringing in another player like Dunn who can play on special teams with his athleticism, has played in the outside, hasn't played in the slot, but he's got the change of direction ability. You got to wonder, maybe that's something they could try with him as well. And you can roll the dice on players that you claim off waivers. But either way, both these guys are young players that have flashed a little bit. They've played extensive action in the NFL. They've got regular season experience, and they're still very young players. They look like they'd be good fits for what the Seahawks want to do schematically, and with the injuries that they're dealing with at those two positions, it makes sense as well. I know everybody was looking for an inside linebacker. I'm sure that John Schneider put in a claim or two on an inside linebacker and probably just didn't get the player. There's probably another team ahead of him that plucked him, because there are just not very many linebackers out there, and there are a lot of teams that need that position, not just the Seahawks.
There are, and I think there's still some good players available. I just don't know that that's necessarily the biggest priority for the Seahawks. I think it is for us, look on the outside looking in. But you know, it's kind of similar to the running back position, Corbin, and I mentioned that because, of course, you know this very, very well, that you know running back is a position that is, it once you understand how to play the game, and you're obviously you have to have a certain level of talent as well, but it is a relatively easy position to be able to come in and make an immediate impact. We saw just with Joel DeBlanco that the change from the first game action that he had to the second game action, and that was extraordinary. But at the same time, I think it also speaks to the fact that middle linebacker is one of those positions where you might be able to find somebody off the street, so to speak, and still be able, within a couple of weeks, be able to actually contribute to. So I don't know that inside linebacker necessarily is quite as big of a concern for them as maybe it is perceived to be And again, we talked about Dunn. Johnson, again, is a really intriguing player. I mean, this is a guy who was born in Georgia. He would have been recruited by all the big-time SEC schools, but his senior year, he suffers a major injury. North Carolina A&T is the only school that gives him an opportunity. He goes there and is absolutely dominant. I mean, his sophomore year, he breaks out. His junior year, he was the conference defensive player of the year. And again, I know it's North Carolina A&T, but we talked about this yesterday. Being Seattle has shown a little bit more of a willingness to go with some of these small school guys.
Yep.
And, you know, this is a kid that, you know, was the defensive player of the year at the MEAC conference. That's the MEAC is where Tariq Cohen, Darius Leonard, you know, some really good NFL players have played in the past. I just see a guy who's 6'6", 260 pounds. I think the positional versatility as an edge rusher, as a possible defensive lineman, the length that he possesses, I'm intrigued by him. He's kind of a ball of clay. Let's see what Clint Hurt and the Seahawks can do with this talented, still very young, hopefully very hungry player.
The Seahawks are going to have to make two corresponding moves to open up roster spots for Dunn and Johnson, whether that's injured reserve, releasing players, making a trade. One way or another, they're going to have to open up those two spots before 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. As of this recording, the Seahawks have not made those corresponding moves yet. We'll see what they do to get Dunn and Johnson on their roster. Up next, the Seahawks released a bunch of players yesterday. There was some concern a few of them might get claimed off waivers by other teams. It turns out they got very fortunate, and none of those players were claimed yesterday. So we're going to take a look at that list, if there's any surprises, what might happen next for a number of those players, and which ones will be targets for the Seahawks on their practice squad. We'll get to that here in a moment. As a diehard fantasy player, I'm rolling with Josh Allen to throw for over 400 yards, Jonathan Taylor to amass 3 rushing touchdowns, and Cooper Kupp to snag 10 receptions in week 1. Those might seem like bold leap, but with Prize Picks, it's easy to play daily fantasy and put those entries to the test. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. And Prize Picks offers projections on any sport you watch. It can be NFL, NBA, MLB, men's college basketball, tennis, MMA, even Euro basketball. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. It's safe, fast withdrawals, currently operational in over 30 states as well as Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON. Sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. As you gear up for the fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. As a former site manager and current podcast host, I've made plenty of hires over the years, and LinkedIn has always been a go-to for me to find top candidates in sports media. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number 1 in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Wednesday edition. This is your host, Corbin Smith. Joining me for today's show, Rob Rang. Thanks to all the 12s out there for making Locked On Seahawks your first listen 5 days a week. We greatly appreciate it. The Seahawks, as part of a very busy Tuesday, cut more than 20 players to get down to their 53-man limit per NFL rules. None of those players, Rob, were claimed off of waivers. And so some fans look at it this way, man, that shows the lack of talent we have. Nobody wants any of our players when they get released. When really the fact is most players that get released on cutdown day are not claimed. I'd say it's over 95% of the players don't get claimed. There's some really good players that end up clearing waivers because all the other teams are trying to do what the Seahawks are doing. They're trying to trim their roster down to 53. There are certain players that are going to get picked up by other teams, but most are going to clear through waivers. So I don't think this necessarily is a criticism of the talent that the Seahawks released. There's some very good players that did not make this football team, but there are a number of factors to consider that ultimately make it most of these guys don't get claimed by other teams.
Yeah, that's a really good point because I think that at first glance, people might assume that if you don't, if other NFL teams aren't signing the players that didn't make your roster, then yeah, that just means that you don't have a very talented roster. And certainly, when you look at the waiver claims that have been set out there, the Buffalo Bills, there was a lot of players from the Bills that wound up getting signed, and obviously they are a Super Bowl favorite. Kansas City Chiefs was the most talented team, top to bottom, that I had the opportunity to see in person when I went. On my little training camp tour as a scout with the BC Lions, not surprised to see a couple of their players wind up getting picked up elsewhere. But still, I think with Kansas City, you're talking about two or three players. So it's not like there's just this, you know, huge rush to sign everybody else's trash, so to speak. And I don't want to suggest that these players are really trash. They obviously were not good enough in the opinions of the evaluators for these clubs to make their 53. But we're still talking about elite football players here. Yeah. A lot of these guys are going to wind up signing. And to me, what it says, besides this whole notion that, oh, the Seahawks aren't very talented, it also is a great deal of respect that the Seahawks know their club. That this is one of the longest standing teams in terms of the general manager and the coaches being in place of all of the NFL. It is very, very rare that you see a player get released by the Seahawks and then wind up signing elsewhere and becoming a big time player. I mean, it just doesn't happen very often. So I think this is a little bit of a reflection of the respect the other NFL teams have for Seattle scouts that, okay, if a guy got cut here, like a Marquise player, for example, he is a player that I am surprised has not signed with another team because of the fact that he was a second round pick a couple of years ago. He is a difference making kind of player at his best. But then you watch the tape and the same thing, the same missed tackle opportunities that is what led to his being released by Seattle is the same thing that's going to scare off any other team out there. You know, so I'm not necessarily that surprised that Seattle hasn't had any of their players wind up signing elsewhere. That's why I think there's a lot of optimism that Seattle basically might be able to kind of pick and choose who among their former players they might be able to bring back to the practice squad. Or obviously, if they feel there's some upgrades available, might be able to do that as well.
The first thing I always look at when we get done with these cut downs, are there any draft picks that got released that may draw interest from other teams? And in the case of the Seahawks this year, 7 of their 9 draft picks are on their 53-man roster. One of the two that's not is on injured reserve. Tyreek Smith is done for the season. If he's healthy, he's probably on this roster as one of their reserve pass rushers. Bo Melton was the only one that hit the waiver wire of their 9 draft picks. And luckily for Seattle, Bo Melton slipped through. Now, as of the time of this show, he is yet to sign with the Seahawks practice squad, but all indications, including from Pete Carroll yesterday, sounded like he was pretty interested in Bo Melton coming back if they could make it happen. Obviously, they had to wait at that point to see if any other teams put in a claim, but I mentioned this going into this process. Derek Young at 6'2", 224, with his speed, his size, his special teams ability, the running back background, there aren't very many players with that size and those athletic metrics that are floating around in the waiver wire. There are a lot of smaller receivers that have really good speed. Not a lot of guys that are 4.34 guys like Bo Melton, but there are a lot more receivers in a congested waiver market that are going to have similar traits and skill sets to Bo Melton and Derek Young. And so all along, it seemed like to me, this was the right way to go. If you thought those two players were fairly even, you release Melton because you have a better chance of slipping him through waivers. And sure enough, that has happened. So it would seem like, and we'll get to this later in the show, but it would seem like he would be a priority. As far as surprises go, putting this list back up for our YouTube viewers again, Blair, you could mention as a surprise, but his injury history, I think, is probably what scared teams more than anything. I think he's going to sign with somebody in fairly quick order. Too much talent, and he's a guy that a change of scenery could really benefit him. The other player on this list that I actually thought there was a decent chance might get claimed off of waivers was Vi Jones, the undrafted rookie out of North Carolina State, just because of his pure athleticism. We're talking about a guy that's got good length. He's looked like KJ Wright, a light KJ Wright out there on the field physically, the way that he moves, his long arms, his special teams ability, the fact Seattle used him at outside and inside linebacker. That was maybe the other rookie on this list that I thought, you know what, there's a chance if a team watches the film with his athletic traits, the versatility that he brings to the table, the athletic upside, that he might be a player that draws interest. But he cleared waivers as well. Most of these guys, like Jacob Eason, wasn't going to get claimed. Joel DeBlanco, probably not going to get claimed. Aaron Donkor is not going to get claimed. Most of these guys, again, using the word trash is not the right one, but in terms of NFL talent, these are guys that are bottom of the roster fodder. And when you are in that position, it can be really difficult, especially this time of year, to get another job. But luckily there are 32 practice squads out there, not just the Seahawks. There will be other teams that may have interest in Seattle's players they released as practice squad candidates if the Seahawks aren't going to bring them back.
No, exactly. And that to me, again, is one of the big points here. You know, you look at the players that Seattle released. I think that it shows that the calculated risk that the Seahawks made, as you just articulated, between Derek Young and Bo Melton was a win for Seattle. Because I agree with you, Corb. I think if Seattle releases Derek Young with his physical potential, the flashes that he has shown on tape in preseason games, he is very likely to wind up getting signed. Whereas with Bo Melton, you know, there's a reason why he was a late day three selection, despite that straight line speed that he demonstrated in the workouts. The same issues that he showed with the Seahawks is what he showed at the Senior Bowl, is what he showed on his Rutgers tape, is that he can fly and he's a good football player. He just drops the occasional pass. And to your point, there are a surprising number of receivers out there who run in the 4.3s that just aren't viewed as reliable enough as pass catchers or downfield blockers and things of that nature. That it was definitely was a risk by Seattle, but again, a risk that I think paid off for them. So I'm really intrigued to see who of these of the former Seahawks wind up becoming current Seahawks yet again on this practice squad. I do think there's going to be a fair number of very familiar names for Seattle.
Putting up that list one more time, and we're going to get a chance to look at this in our third segment, tying it into building the practice squad. But keep in mind that there are three different classifications of players. So a few of these guys are seasoned veterans that have 3+ accrued seasons. Those kind of players, there's going to be a little different setup as far as getting them on practice squads. Teams can have those players, but they have limitations for how many vets that they can sign. Whereas your rookies, guys that are first and second year players that haven't accrued seasons, which most of this list for Seattle is, it's filled with players like that are practice squad eligible. You can sign as many of those players as you want. So I would anticipate that we are going to see a lot of these players coming back. We're going to have a chance here coming up to kind of dive into the positional groups Seattle should be prioritizing as they build their practice squad. Maybe some players that were in camp and played for them in the preseason that should be prioritized to bring back on the practice squad. We're going to dive into that here in a moment. Hindsight is 2020, and you can't change the past, but what if you could get a little help from your future self? Maybe you'd ask to borrow a little cash. Now you can with Dave. Dave is the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. That's more money to fill your tank, buy a wedding gift, or catch up on bills. You can finally tackle those expenses that have been stressing you out without any hangups. There's no interest, no credit check needed. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief they need with extra cash. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC, your future self will thank you. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Wednesday edition. This is your host, Corbin Smith. Joining me for today's show, Rob Rang. Thanks to the 12s, as always, for making Locked On Seahawks your first listen 5 days a week. We greatly appreciate it. Now for your second listen, go check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022, an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season. The local team experts of the Locked On Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, all combining into one Ultimate NFL preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. As we just broke down, the Seahawks didn't have any players they released yesterday claimed by other teams. So that opens the door for all of those players to return as members of Seattle's 16-player practice squad. They can also sign players that were released by other teams to their practice squad. And Pete Carroll and John Schneider have done that plenty of times in the past. If you think the 53-man roster is fluid, Rob, the practice squad, it feels like it changes 50 times a week during the regular season. Guys bouncing on and off the practice squad. These guys don't make very much money to be members of the practice squad either. But the game has changed quite a bit because of the ability to promote players, get a couple game day elevations each year with practice squad players. And the fact that it's been expanded from 10 to 16 has just given more players more opportunities to ultimately play on Sundays.
Yeah, from a NFL fan perspective, I think that it's great. I think that it allows more players into the league. That's more players who get the opportunity to fulfill their dreams. I think it's certainly from an NFL team perspective, it's great as well. Gives the club a lot more flexibility. If you are an NFL veteran player, as an individual player, then it gives you another opportunity to make that team and contribute to that club. As a CFL scout, it certainly makes things a lot more difficult because, you know, you see some of these veterans get released. And in past years, if it was a veteran that got released, then he was, not going to be able to come back to the practice squad. Back when you basically had to be players, you only had a year or two at three at most to be eligible for the practice squad. But now you got guys who are 10 years in the league that actually could wind up being signed back to the practice squad if that's what the club wants to do. There's certain limitations there. But, I think that the youth movement that we discussed in yesterday's show, and obviously that the Seahawks believe in, I think is very much going to be demonstrated with their practice squad. But a notable exception was Seattle's first of these practice squad players, and that being the quarterback I mentioned before, Oregon State, go Beavs, Oregon State quarterback Sean Mannion. And this is a guy who has starting experience in the NFL. He's been in the league for a couple of years. I think that is an upgrade, frankly, to Jacob Eason for Seattle's roster. I think that it suggests that Jacob Eason is not likely to come back to Seattle. And Sean Mannion specifically, I think it's a really interesting pickup for this club. Does he have the physical traits that you want to try and develop? I don't know that that's necessarily the case, but Pete Carroll has kind of talked about this idea of getting in kind of a point guard, a distributor of the football. That's something that Mannion can do. He has been around enough NFL teams that he certainly has the mind for this as well. And the quarterback that has the physical traits that you want to develop is already on the roster in Drew Lock. And you have a very savvy starter in Geno Smith. You have a very savvy now third string quarterback and Sean Mannion. If Drew Lock doesn't take that coaching of his peers as well as coaches, working around him, then that to me is why this move makes sense. Is because this is kind of creating some insurance around that quarterback position and also a little bit of a kick in the butt, I think, for Drew Lock as well. So I like this signing for Seattle. I don't think that Sean Mannion is going to wind up becoming that diamond in the rough superstar someday. But I think that this does make your team better. And of course, that's the whole point.
See, and I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit on this just because of the state of the Seahawks. And you make some good points about Sean Mannion. As we posted it for our YouTube viewers here, the Seahawks have made two reported signings to their practice squad at this point. And one of them is Sean Mannion, who did spend the preseason with the team, not this year, but last season. He has prior ties to Shane Waldron. They were together with the Rams. And so there's some commonality there that makes sense to bring him back. I guess my issue is I would much rather have a quarterback on my practice squad that has clear upside. I just don't know now that a 30-year-old Sean Mannion, a quarterback that is about as mobile as the Statue of Liberty, he's not going to be running around in the pocket. He's got decent arm tools for a backup quarterback, but he's 30 years old. This is not a guy that is going to be stepping into your practice squad and, if we really can develop him for a year or two, this guy might turn into something. I would rather have taken a shot on, say, going after Kellen Mond or one of these young quarterbacks that I can develop, or give Jacob Eason a little longer leash. Like you said, this does indicate to me that they've seen enough. They've had time with Jacob Eason. It's time for us to move forward with another quarterback. We know what Sean Mannion can bring to the table. He knows this offense inside and out. his relationship with Shane Waldron. I just feel like it's perplexing because of the state of where this franchise is at right now. Last year, I could have understood it a little bit more. It's like, well, you've got an established franchise quarterback in Russell Wilson. Geno Smith is a really good backup. Let's have one more veteran here, especially with the COVID stuff. Let's have another veteran that really knows the offense that can be an insurance policy. I just don't necessarily see that right now. So I guess this is a good launching point for us to start a discussion about what should be prioritized by the Seahawks and the practice squad. Before we get to that, I want to just make sure while we're having this discussion that our listeners understand how the practice squad works, because there are three different tiers of players that you have. You have your practice squad eligible players that have zero or one accrued seasons with nine or fewer games played. Those players, you can have as many of them as you want on your practice squad. You have exception players, which are players with two or fewer accrued seasons. Tyler Mabry would be an example of a player that would fit in the exception category. And then veteran players, they have three or more accrued seasons. Sean Mannion has seven accrued seasons, so he would be considered a veteran player on Seattle's practice squad. And here's really the only ground rules. You cannot have more than 10 exception players that have two or fewer accrued seasons, and you cannot have more than six veterans with three or more accrued seasons. So Sean Mannion on the practice squad, Rob, they can only add five more veterans on their 16-player practice squad. So they put these rules in place so the teams can't be like, you know what, I'm going to load up on 16 dudes that have played five or six seasons in the NFL and just build a reserve team. They've made sure to put some mechanisms in place so teams can't do that, and the practice squad can still be what it's supposed to be, a area to develop young players. And I think that's how Seattle's got to be viewing this across the board, which is why I'm not near as optimistic or I'm not near as positive with the Sean Mannion move at quarterback. I'd rather have a young guy that I can really try to develop. Even if Drew Locke's considered that guy, what's wrong with having one other quarterback that you can really work with that has some upside?
No, I certainly understand what you're saying. I think that, yeah, if there was a quarterback available to you that you really believed in his physical tools and his upside, then that makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned Kellen Mond. I think Ian Book, you know, wound up going from New Orleans to Philadelphia. It'd be another one that likely would have been available to Seattle if they were that interested. I just think that, you know, again, they view Sean Mannion, I believe, as kind of a coach on the field in some ways. And he would obviously be one of those veteran players. I just don't think that there's going to be very many other veteran players, maybe a couple, two or three, but I think that the vast majority of Seattle's practice squad is going to be exactly what you said before. It's going to be those developmental players. And so I think that you are going to see Seattle, instead of just focusing in on inside linebacker or maybe a backup center or things like that, I wouldn't be surprised if they basically just add a player or two almost every single position. Wouldn't be surprised at all if they go with another running back, another wide receiver, just because whether they're familiar names, somebody who's been on Seattle's roster throughout training camp, or bringing somebody else in. Just because, again, you have 16 players out there that you can add to your practice squad. Develop some of these guys. Get some raw players that maybe with a little bit of developing, they could be something for you. Seattle obviously has been very successful in that in the past. But it is interesting the way that the NFL has changed things. I mentioned we know we have the example here of Sean Mannion. I mean, what about with our, you know, the week one opponent, the Denver Broncos? I mean, they released Josh Johnson, the quarterback, you know, who's been around forever, and put him on their practice squad. So to me, that is exactly the type of thing that we're seeing NFL teams do now. They are very much taking advantage of this new rule that allows them to take those players who are an exception and those players who are veterans and really create a much more well-rounded roster.
Yeah, I do think there's benefits to it. And like I said, I could have seen the Mannion signing making more sense last year, just given their quarterback situation and the rest of the roster. I'm just a little perplexed going that direction right now. It's not a huge issue. It's a practice squad quarterback either way. But I'm just leaning towards youth, which, looking at other priorities here, I think you want to try to keep as many of your top young players that you cut, like Vi Jones, Bo Melton, those kind of players. Those are the ones that you want to keep around, and you're hoping they want to stay here because those could still be players that at some point this year you could need if injuries strike, and they have upside. They're oozing with potential, very athletic players. Those are guys you want to keep. From a positional standpoint, though, I mentioned this yesterday. Inside linebacker is still the biggest issue on this roster. Maybe Joel DeBlanco, maybe Vi Jones can still play off-ball linebacker for you. Tanner Mews, names of guys you had in camp. If you can bring back one or two of those guys, then that's okay. Maybe you go outside the organization to get a practice squad inside linebacker. But I think center's got to be a close second here. Looking for somebody that can push Kyle Fuller and maybe eventually take that backup center job. Because I just feel like the drop-off from Austin Blythe to Kyle Fuller with what we've seen when he's been on the field the last two seasons, I feel like that is a massive gap there in talent and production. And you'd like to see them bring in a young player that has some growth potential at center. So I mentioned Michael Manet yesterday, Alec Lindstrom. Those are players that probably wind up with practice squads with the teams that cut them. But still, those would have been the kind of guys that I would have been looking at. And even Dakota Shepley, bringing him back for another run of the practice squad. He's still a fairly young player that you can develop. But I feel like center has to be a priority. Running back, just because of the carnage of that position, might want to see if you can get a couple players to sign on your practice squad. I saw Abram Smith got cut, and that was a guy I thought would be a good fit for the Seahawks potentially. There are plenty of running backs out there in the market that they could go to add as insurance in the backfield. You can never have too many good running backs with how much Seattle likes running the ball and the injury rate at that position. And I think on the defensive side of the football, young pass rushers as well. That is something else you got to be looking to develop players. Maybe Vi Jones fits in there for your plans down the line. Maybe you can bring in another bigger bodied pass rusher that you can develop. But I think that those are the core spots that you absolutely have to get players on your practice squad that you can develop, that you think have a chance to contribute for you in the future, not just fill up practice squad spots.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's the thing, is every club out there is hoping to find some diamond in the rough at one of those premium positions, pass rushers, quarterbacks, and cornerbacks as well. It's very hard to do so. I mean, these players, of course, have been there for a couple of months with their NFL teams, and, no one is going to know these players better than the club that they have been with. And so if you cut one of these players and they're suddenly available and you may have liked him, then why did the other team cut him? So again, I think that you're going to see Seattle bring back a lot of their players. And it was an important point, I think, that Pete Carroll made in this press conference as well, is just that how much of this is recruiting, and just convincing the players, hey, you may have opportunities elsewhere. Your agent might be calling you and saying this club, has some interest in you. But we being the Seahawks, Pete Carroll kind of talking here, we already know you. You're already in our system. You already know the offense or the defense or special teams. Which player or which position do you think that you're actually going to be in a better spot to contribute to the active roster? And so, again, I think that you're going to see Seattle try and bring back a lot of their guys. And I don't know if there's anybody out there in the NFL who's better at recruiting than Pete Carroll and his staff. So that's where I think that Seattle, while they might get, kind of blasted a little bit nationally, I think that they're actually building this club exactly the way that Seahawks fans should hope. They're prioritizing youth, prioritizing speed, and then just remains to be seen what's going to happen at the quarterback position.
And I think one other thing to keep an eye on, I believe you and I talked about this a little bit last week on the show, that they'll probably keep three, maybe even four receivers on this practice squad that have special teams ability, because I could see them doing a by committee approach with the return game potentially, especially after releasing Freddie Swain. I mean, who knows, if Freddie Swain doesn't get signed by somebody else, he could still end up coming back to Seattle too. And you know that the locker room would be happy about that. He was a respected player in the locker room. That might be his best chance to get back on an NFL field on Sundays, is staying in Seattle. We don't know how any of this is going to play out, but that has typically been what the Seahawks have done the last couple of years, stash several receivers with special teams ability. You can use those couple game day elevations, and you have a by committee approach. You'd like to see one guy rise to the occasion, be your punter, kick returner, but that is an approach that has worked fairly well for the Seahawks the last couple of years. I expect them to continue that approach moving forward. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can follow Rob at Rob Rang. Make sure to check out Locked On Seahawks on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and streaming 5 days a week on YouTube. Coming up on our Thursday episode, going to have more updates on roster moves. What did the Seahawks do to open up spots for Isaiah Dunn and Darryl Johnson? Who signed to the practice squad? I'll be taking a look at the full practice squad. What is the full practice squad at that point? It's probably going to change by the time we end the episode, but I'll be breaking all that stuff down on our Thursday show. You won't want to miss it. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Go Hawks.